Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads, and I'm your host, T.S. Wright. So glad you could join us today. If you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, give us a like. Well, just real quick, hey, make sure if you haven't had a chance, go check us out on JesusSaid.tv. You might be watching this on JesusSaid.tv right now. Also, you can get over to my website at tswrightspeaks.com. And very shortly here in the next week, I'll be running our discipleship classes on tuvu.com. Look for the Community God Center Concept Academy. And you can now, we just signed a contract, and you will be able to find us on the Good View TV network as the God Center Concept Academy will be running programs on there as well. Well, today we're back with Stu Woods. He has got a message that he's going to give us today. And you guys just sit back, relax. If you're driving, don't relax too much, but make sure you still focus on that road. So, Reverend Stu Woods, you're back. Take it away, my friend.
G'day, T.S., and welcome, everybody, from the land down under. Today, I'd like to introduce to you what I like to call a POM. That is a proverb of the month. I do this each month at my church service. It's called Way Out Fellowship Church. Anyway, so get your Bible out, if you've got one handy. And if you're driving, as T.S. says, just listen along. Alrighty. Okay, so get your Bible ready. Look up Proverbs 15:9. Now, I love Proverbs. They're a collection of short sayings. They're short, sharp, and powerful. And this is a proverb from Solomon, probably the wisest man to ever live. So let's dive into God's Word. Proverbs 15:9. I'll be reading from the NIV. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. This proverb contains a clear contrast between right and wrong behavior. Think of it like this. When it comes down to our choices in life, God responds in two ways. It'll be with either a divine disgust or a divine delight. Now, the way of the wicked is sin in all its forms, sexual immorality. The way of the wicked is sin in all its forms, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. It would also include sinful thoughts and words, lies, anger, rage, malice, slander, gossiping, and filthy language too. Maybe like me, you've been guilty of some or all of these things in your life. But is the goal to just feel guilty and unworthy and just leave you trapped there? Absolutely not. We are all guilty, but there is a way out from guilt and shame. God is both loving and just. And that's why in his word, the Bible, he teaches us the difference between wicked ways and how he wants us to live. He rewards us with his love when we choose to accept we are guilty and leave our wicked ways behind, seeking to be obedient to him and his word. But is it all down to our willpower? Well, thankfully, no. Only through Jesus can we truly leave our wicked ways, because only he offers the sinner complete forgiveness through his death and resurrection. Now, once forgiven, we are made right with God, but it's not a license to keep on sinning, as some people might think. The evidence of being saved by Jesus is seen in how the believer then lives their life, how they respond. Now, the author of this proverb, King Solomon, speaks of God's divine delight when he says, God loves those who pursue righteousness. It's not guilt, you see, that motivates me. No, it's God's amazing love demonstrated for me at the cross. I believe Jesus' blood poured out for me, and in response, I choose to follow him daily. The longer I walk with Jesus, the more thankful I am that God sent his one and only Son to take on the consequence of my sin. His body was broken for me, paying the penalty of my sin to save me from hell. And now I look forward to heaven, my eternity, safe and secure in Christ. So it's out of thankfulness I want to please my Savior and my God. Because of Jesus, I am forgiven and set free from my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. Isn't that good news? He first loved me, so I want to show my love and appreciation, not in order to be saved, but because I'm already saved in Christ. Yes, I will always need his help to pursue righteousness with any consistency, as will you. But nevertheless, I choose to energetically pursue living a life that honors he who sacrificed his son for me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells us so. But I also know this from experience of many decades of following him, as many of you will as well. So heed the warning and make a better choice today. The Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. Proverbs 15:9. Now, do you understand and accept this truth? Will you respond by pursuing God and his ways? Food for thought. Now, grab your Bible, for those that aren't driving, and turn to Colossians 3. Now, while you're looking that up, Colossians 3, as a former prison chaplain here in Sydney, Australia, I used to see inmates, you know, they'd be walking around the yard, often with their heads downcast, that sort of thing, and I'd go up and have a chat with them, and I would remind them to look up above the walls and the barbed wire and remember their Heavenly Father and his call on their life. Now, it would have been very different being incarcerated in a Roman prison back in the first century, very different to today's modern correctional centers. Yet, listen to how Paul, who wrote this letter from prison cell, encourages the church in Colossae back in the first century. So Colossians 3 verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He reminds followers of Jesus, the Apostle Paul, that they have been raised with Christ. Now, isn't it profound? As former enemies of God, we who have believed in Jesus, seeking to live for him, are now completely forgiven. And just as Jesus was crucified, died, and was raised back to life, we too, as followers of Jesus, are co-resurrected. We have been raised from spiritual death to life. And this is what we celebrated a little while back at Easter on Resurrection Sunday. Because we have been raised with Christ, Paul encourages his hearers to set their hearts on things above. It would have been all too easy for him to dwell on the darkness and gloom of his miserable surroundings. Instead, leading by example, Paul wants them to shift their whole outlook on life and current circumstances. He wants them to shift that to Christ, remembering who he is and where he sits. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, in the highest position of authority, God's right hand. I think the only genuine way we can set our hearts on things above is to listen to the Bible, God's word, and be reminded of truth like this regularly. If you're not if you are in the not yet a believer category, then you have not been raised with Christ. Ask God to reveal himself to you, and he will. Keep coming to church. Keep listening to good quality podcasts like this one. Keep investigating. Ponder God's words. Ask questions of people who you know are Bible-based and solid. But do so with an open heart and mind, and expect God, to give you that hope and peace over time as he draws you to himself. Now, James, the half-brother of Jesus, puts it simply like this in James 4, verse 8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. There is nothing more important for you to do, for you and for eternity. There's nothing more important. As this letter to the Colossian church was written to Christians, Paul reminds them, Colossians 1, 13 and 14, for he, Jesus, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, this truth keeps my heart set on things above. It keeps me humble. Jesus, who sits at God's right hand, is the creator of all things, including you and me. And therefore, he has a rightful claim on our lives. Now, many of you listening have been brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We needed rescuing and eventually, at some point in our past, came near to God, accepted his offer to be saved through Jesus, and he responded by coming near to us. And when, as a follower of Jesus, you truly understand what you have been saved from, that is, think about this, eternal punishment with no end date, that you've been raised with Christ, it is proper for us to look to God for everything, setting our hearts on things above. The God of the universe loves those who pursue righteousness, as our proverb of the month reminds us. Paul adds this, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Now also, in the second verse, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You see, what we soak our brains in, the stuff we think about exposed to day in, day out, all that stuff matters, you know. God's word here says we need to deliberately to set our minds, align our thinking more and more towards God, his kingdom and his will, and to Christ, our only Savior. This instruction is not just for the, you know, every now and then or once a week or something rather. You need to have that whole of life mindset. You see, it's a deliberate daily choice for those serious about following Jesus to set one's heart and mind on things above. There's so many things competing for our attention in this modern day. A few weeks ago, I was at a chaplaincy conference here in Sydney, in Australia, and our speaker, Tim Dyer, D-Y-E-R, said this, our digital environments have been deliberately engineered to capture and fragment attention. Social media, notifications, and smartphone designs are all built on one principle. Interrupt your attention equals more revenue. That's what they're about. You see, if we do not have our minds set on things above, we'll be led here and there, everywhere, by the distractions of this world. Now, does your phone... does it constantly notify you about everything? Well, maybe it's time to turn off those many notifications that seem to pull at us and distract us constantly to get our attention off whatever we were doing, and usually stuff we should be doing, okay, into something else that they want us to do. They simply do this to throw at you as many ads as humanly possible, because why? It's not in your best interests. It's in theirs. I can assure you, it's not in your best interests to allow these things to keep distracting you. Don't hear me say to put all technology in the bin. Not hearing me say that. But use it wisely. Control it. Don't let it control you. To help set your minds on things above, maybe you could use technology to help you in this. There's a great app I have on my phone called Prayer Mate. One word, Prayer Mate, which I use to keep my prayer points. It can even be set to remind you to pray at a set time each day or something like that. Another thing that you could get to help you get into a better routine to avoid, you know, sleeping in and missing out on church again, another reason you didn't get to go this week, will be set an electronic reminder in your, I don't know, Google Calendar or whatever you use to wake you up in plenty of time. Now, Trudy, my lovely wife and I, we have this weekday routine of walking our hound dog, Duke, you know, not in the rain, but, you know, on dry days. And what we do is we play the YouVersion Bible app and it reads out the Bible to us loud. So that's another one. If you don't have a Bible app in your phone, that's one I'd recommend. It's free. And it reads the Bible out of your choice, as in, you know, the different versions. And it reads it out loud. And we walk around our local area, soaking in God's word. Anyway, my point is to choose things that will help you set your mind on things above. Now, there's a quote I heard years ago. I love it. Think about this. If you aim at nothing, you are bound to hit it. You got to think about that for a second, right? If you aim at nothing, you're bound to hit it. It's so true, isn't it? A captain of a ship can't just you know, jump in the ship and set a course to nowhere. Rather, he examines maps and charts his course before he sets off to a chosen destination. And once his mind is on that task, every decision he makes will either help hinder achieving his goal, getting to the next port safely. He sets his course accordingly to avoid running aground or winding up off course. If he allows himself to be distracted, he and those on board will very likely end up on the rocks. Now, I wonder what earthly things distract you. We've already talked about the phones. What earthly things are distracting you with your walk with Jesus? Do you stay up all night gaming so that you sleep in, waking up too late to go to church or make it the Bible study? Or you still make it most times, but really in reality, because of these things, you're consistently arriving late. What about this? Maybe your first love's pornography. Or your next sexual encounter? Or is it money, lifestyle, possessions that have captured your heart? Anything in creation, especially things that bring you pleasure, they make you feel good, and they have the power to captivate you. Those things can have you lose sight of the things God wants you to set your mind on instead. Now, Jesus died for you to save you from hell and eternal punishment. Should not Jesus be your first love? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, the Bible. We've been reminded again from it to set our hearts and minds on things above. May all listening now be challenged to take a fresh look at their life and see if any of their ways, Lord, are detestable to you. And, as required, help them take the necessary steps to purge those distractions and those things from their daily lives. For those who have been convicted, open their eyes wide to who you are, Lord, what your Son has done for them, and help us, Lord, to have Jesus always as our first love. Father, please do your deep work in each of us in order for us to be humble and obedient to your will for our lives. Thank you for Jesus who took on himself your wrath, your anger from our sin that comes to us. You poured that out on your Son 2,000 years ago so that those who would move to trust and seek to obey him may enjoy your forgiveness and mercy now and forever, Lord. Help all of us who profess to follow Jesus to do so energetically, pursuing a life that attracts your divine delight. Enable us, Lord, to trust in your goodness and love, ever thankful for our secure salvation in your Son. And it's in his mighty name we pray.
Amen. Well, Stu, thank you for that encouraging message today. That was awesome. I am glad you guys all here in the audience got to hear it. And I appreciate everybody being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. And we appreciate the Reverend Stu Woods coming on and delivering this message. And guys, as you continue to move forth, we now tell you, as we always do, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation. Let the great harvest begin.
Amen. Amen.